the incredible percentage of Americans that believe untruths, lies, falsehoods, call them whatever you will, just keeps growing. The nonprofit progressive watchdog Media Matters is dramatically shifting its focus in the coming year to take on the terrifying, effective specter of fake news. And joining me right now to explain why all of this is happening at Media Matters is their senior fellow, Eric Bollert. Eric, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks for having me.
You've recently published an article calling out five people close to Trump who have propagated fake news. Please talk about that.
The problem with fake news is it played such a large role during the campaign, right? So the Washington Post, BuzzFeed, and others have done a pretty good job in terms of correlating and trying to measure just how important it was. And it really was kind of a land rush in the last 4, 6, 8 weeks when we saw the traffic numbers just exploding in terms of Facebook and Twitter and things like that. And in terms of the research today, the fake news was overwhelmingly pro-Trump and anti-Clinton. Mm-hmm. So it's not a problem that it seems to be affecting both sides of the political spectrum. It really seems to be a conservative problem. And the problem is it affects the rest of the political dialogue.
Yeah.
And so it's not just people kind of passing these around casually or your aunts and uncles kind of upgrading the email chain that they used to send around with some suspicious information. I mean, this was Donald Trump's son. It was retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who is now being tapped to run the National Security Agency. His son, during the heat of the campaign, they were sending out tweets about how Clinton supporters were being paid to attend rallies, how Hillary Clinton might be tied up with some kind of sex ring, and things like this. So stuff that was just kind of off the charts and stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with policy, had absolutely nothing to do with kind of what kind of president Trump or Clinton would be. Most of it was just very dark, ugly kind of character assassination built around phony allegations, built around claims, you know, the FBI had just raided Hillary Clinton's office and things like that. So the problem escalated quickly during the last couple months of the campaign, and it was fueled by people who are now in the inner circle of the Trump team.
I'm seeing, and I know you've seen it too, astounding numbers about the propensity of people who voted for Trump to believe only what he says. We've seen documentation that 80% or so of these people believe that he won the popular vote, that there were millions of illegal voters in the election, and it doesn't matter what
they see.
So tell me, is there a way to get to those people, or do you just have to say, we're just going to try to get everybody else informed?
Well, that's a good question. And to be honest, I think it's very difficult to reach those people. There was just a poll out, I think it was South Carolina, Trump supporters, 60, 70, 80% want, you know, Muslims banned in America. 60% want gays banned from America. Over 50% want Islam to become illegal in the United States. I mean, you're not going to reach those people.
Right.
But what is important, I think, is to reach two main groups. Independent voters who are still, you know, engaged and smart and paying attention and, you know, can always use an education. And the mainstream media, in terms of sending up these red flags, not letting them either get suckered in or not letting them deal with this issue casually, and not to let them just kind of write it off as, well, that, you know, it's just kind of the crazy on the fringes doing this. Yeah, and I'll give you a perfect example. I just wrote a piece on the press coverage of the Trump transition so far. And again, going back to Michael Flynn, who Trump wants to be his head of national security, you know, a week before the election, he tweeted out an article. This was like a classic fake news article that claimed Hillary Clinton was linked to sex crimes with children. Now, to me, if you're going to be doing that and then you get tapped to be national security. That would be a part of every profile any journalist would ever write about Michael Flynn.
Sure.
And we saw a flood of them, right? People didn't know who he was. Who is this guy? He's going to be an incredibly important job. Lots and lots of long profiles about Michael Flynn. I read them all for my research.
Yeah.
Virtually none of them mentioned that he had tweeted out a fake article claiming that Hillary Clinton was involved with sex crimes with children.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. I mean, that has got to be... That's got to be included in every single article about this guy. Because, look, if a prominent Democrat during a campaign last month was tweeting out 9/11 truther stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then President-elect Hillary Clinton wanted that person to be head of national security, I guarantee you that person's fake news tweets would be incredibly important. So it's important that the mainstream press, the D.C. press, doesn't try to downplay this stuff when senior people on the Trump team are engaged in it.
Do you see, Eric, any real pressure yet to stop this practice that seems to be working?
Like a lot of people who played a role in Hillary Clinton's defeat, decided to do something after the election. So Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, in the week after the election, said it was ridiculous to claim, you know, fake news stories that were spread on Facebook had anything to do with the election. Once some of the research started pouring in, Facebook definitely changed its message. They're addressing it. They still don't think they're to blame, of course, but they claim they want to do something about it. Google wants to do something about it. You know, I think the big question is there still going to be this major audience, right? This was kind of a perfect storm for people in the fake news business. And we've seen some good reporting. You know, Washington Post and others mm-hmm. have interviewed people who make their living doing this. And they said, oh, by the way, we tried to do it with liberals, but they didn't bite. They didn't take the bait. Mm-hmm. We did it with conservatives, you know, pushing out this anti-Clinton stuff, mm-hmm. and they started getting a million hits per article. So it's kind of a perfect storm for them. It was this perfect campaign. This villainous character in the person of Hillary Clinton was created, and Trump was this very unusual character who seemed to embrace lies and fake news himself. I think that one of the questions is post-election, what are the fake news stories going to be about, right? If Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton leaves the stage, if your villain is gone, is there still going to be that appetite
sure.
online?
Yeah.
Fake news about how great Donald Trump is, I'm not sure that's going to generate the same kind
sure.
of traffic. So I think the people who monetized it, it'll be interesting to see how they're going to try to continue this momentum. The companies say they're going to try to do something about it. We don't know what that's going to look like software-wise or whatever. But hopefully, between them being proactive and hopefully between a change in the political landscape, there might be less of an appetite for this for now. But what happens next campaign, we don't know.
Eric, how does Media Matters plan to take on fake news more aggressively?
You know, we're going to research it more, and when we see it pop up, we're just going to try to shine a light on it,
mm-hmm.
right? And let the mainstream media know. People kind of were caught flat-footed during the campaign, right? People didn't really know what was going on. You know, the press and a lot of people didn't understand the incredible importance this fake news stuff was having. And so now there's no excuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
If who knows what issue will come up, you know, in the early weeks and months of the Trump presidency.
Mm-hmm.
But if something is being fueled by a coordinated campaign of fake news, we're going to try to shine a light on it. We're going to hold the press accountable and say, look, you know, this is what's driving this discussion. This is what's driving these falsehoods. This is what's driving the misinformation. And there is no excuse for just sitting back and watching it this time. There needs to be an aggressive effort to combat it.
Is there a fact-checking role that social media users who desperately want to separate truth from fiction can play in this work?
Well, look, you know, as I said, you know, some of these people who make fake news for a living, specifically a couple people said they tried to do it with the Bernie Sanders supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote in the Washington Post from one of the guys was, you know, they'd float these stories and it would be debunked by the first or second comment, you know, the reader comment, and then it wouldn't go anywhere. So, you know, I think for a majority of the population, people are still able to understand true and false.
Mm-hmm.
if a story's too good to be true and it's coming from a source you've never heard of, odds are it's not true. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty easy to just click on the next article and do a little fact-checking on your own. But again, this is a larger cultural problem. Look, Fox News built its empire, sure, misleading viewers for 20 years, certainly much more aggressively during the Obama years. And so there's a political culture among conservatives and sort of hardcore believers that, you know, if it's on Fox News, it's true. And then if you take that leap, if it's on Facebook, it's true. Or if it makes Hillary Clinton or Obama look like criminals, it's true. Those people they're committed, right?
Yeah.
And there may not be much we can do about them. But again, it's very important to shine a spotlight on this and make sure everyone else is aware of what's going on.
And I'd like for you to tell our listeners how to support your work. I know they're concerned about this. We get questions about it. Give them information about how to listen or how to support your work.
Sure, sure. The easiest way is just to visit us at MediaMatters.org, and you can see all the items we put up each day, videos, transcripts, news analysis. There's a ton of great stuff, and visit it every day and see what you can learn.
Eric Bollard is Senior Fellow at Media Matters, an award-winning writer for Salon and Rolling Stone. His books include Bloggers on the Bus, published in 2009. In the coming year, Media Matters is committing itself to going after fake news in its many and influential forms. It's important work, but it won't be easy. Eric, thank you so much for being with us on State of Belief Radio, and we'll touch base again on how this whole thing is going.
Sounds great. Anytime.